Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify. Welcome, everybody, to the Hammer and Rails podcast. With you, as always, I'm your host, Andrew Ledman.
And I'm Casey Bartley.
And we're coming to you Sunday night following Purdue's victory over the Minnesota Golden Gophers, 20-10. This is Purdue's first win in Minneapolis since 2007, folks. So George W. Bush was president the last time Purdue football won a game
too
in Minnesota.
Too soon.
I mean, I'm just telling you the numbers. So, I mean, great game that Purdue walks away victorious. Both teams really tried to give it away, tried to see who could make the most mistakes. Purdue found a way in the fourth quarter to really have their best quarter of the game and walk away with a 20-10 victory. Casey, is there any one thing that stands out to you about the game?
It's kind of a trend at this point, right? That Purdue just brings out the worst in everyone?
Yeah, that's it.
I mean, it kind of all comes down to what should have been a touchdown pass instead turned into an interception for Cam Allen.
Yeah.
Just a gift. Tanner Morgan was not good. Zero TDs, three interceptions, but that was just purely on the receiver. I think it was Span Ford.
I think that's right.
And just right in his hands, wide open. And it just floated up out of his hands like a cloud into Cam Allen's hands. And
Cam Allen did the typical defender who catches the ball at the end zone.
Should I run?
Yeah, exactly. Should I run? Should I stop?
Should I not run?
And then you see his teammates like run in front of him and are like put their hands out like no. Like no. You are in the end zone, buddy. Take a knee. So sure enough he fell down. And you're right, turned what was absolutely going to be a Minnesota touchdown.
Into a whole lot of turnover.
And zapped the momentum. And you noted Cam Allen ball hawk. He had two interceptions on the day. So one, he returned for 42 yards. So he had himself a pretty good day from that perspective.
Did you hear that wild stat that him and Jefferson have combined for like 27 interceptions?
That's crazy.
That's a high number.
Yeah, that is very good.
Big number.
Very good. It was an interesting game in that Purdue, listen to what I'm saying, because Purdue started out first drive of the game, went down, just a methodical drive, wound up scoring. On their first drive, I think they had at least three first downs by running the ball. And I'm not sure we can say that on any previous drive from Purdue this season.
Not sure it happened last season at all.
Yeah, it could be. So, I mean, Purdue started the game on offense looking just spectacular. We're able to run the ball, throw the ball a little bit. AOC, of course, was able to start the game. Didn't look quite right for the majority of the game, but was able to orchestrate that touchdown drive to start. And, you know, Purdue hopped out to a quick 7-0 lead. And it really just looked like maybe Purdue was going to run away with this thing, because then they intercepted Tanner Morgan, and then it looked like they were going down. And Purdue had to settle for a field goal, so they wound up 10-0. And you're just wondering, you know, are they going to put Minnesota away in the first quarter? But unfortunately, as we know, that was not the case, because the Purdue offense really, really started to sputter.
Yeah, and we talked at one point that, you know, when Purdue's sitting there at 1-2, they 100% success rate in the red zone.
Mm-hmm.
Minnesota missed a field goal, a short field goal, and the turnover we talked about. Sometimes it's as simple as making those plays. Did Purdue do anything to make those plays happen? Not really. I think the one surprising thing, more on Minnesota than just us, is I didn't expect us to dominate both lines of scrimmage.
Right.
And it really felt like, for the most part, we did. Minnesota's defense had 3 tackles for a loss, 2 sacks. And, you know, we had 7 tackles for loss on defense. Did a good job getting in the backfield, had a couple runs. You know, the other thing we haven't mentioned is Ibrahim was hurt.
Yeah.
Which was a big talking point for you, and definitely a, you know, boon for our defense. We didn't have to worry about the best runner in the Big Ten.
Yeah.
That
helps. And especially as you get into the third and fourth quarter, if he's been just pounding the ball at you, the problem that teams that have faced Minnesota have had is, you know, they may be able to slow him down for a quarter or 2 quarters, but you just get tired trying to stop the run so often. And then when you get late into the game, that's when Ibrahim seems to get, you know, stronger, and is in such damn good shape that he maintains for the third and fourth quarter, and your defense just can't keep up with him. And suddenly he's breaking off bigger runs and putting you behind the 8-ball. And that's where Minnesota can really put you away.
Well, and we also talked about, so Minnesota's also out their number one wide receiver.
Right.
All of a sudden, you're putting a lot on Tanner Morgan, and I'm not sure that's something you want to do.
Right, right. Well, and it's so funny, because we talked on the last podcast, I said 3 reasons Purdue could win. 1, Tanner Morgan doesn't scare me. I got a couple people on Twitter who are Minnesota fans pushing back on that, saying, you know, well, he'll really surprise you. He's the leader of this offense.
Mr. Clean.
Yeah, and then he wound up with 3 interceptions, a quarterback rating of 17.6.
Are you going to shave your head when you start losing hair, Ledman?
Well, I'm 36 years old, and so far my hair has maintained. And if you look at my
family history... You're going to eventually lose hair, Ledman.
Well, hold on. Okay. If you look at my family history, the rest of my brothers have really started to lose the hair already. One of them already shaves his head.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like if I was going to lose a lot of it, it would have already have started.
I don't know if that's how it works. I think when it goes.
Yeah,
You've been leaning into the COVID, grow it out long. You looked like a Wolverine there for a while.
I had to.
You didn't. You didn't have to.
Mostly, it was like an experiment for me. Right. See how long it could go, but it really did start to drive me crazy. I did have the Bucky Barnes hair for sure.
I'm just like, if you lose your hair, are you going to fight it? Or are you going to go Tanner Morgan style?
I would probably go Tanner Morgan style, okay. But it's one of those things, you don't really know how you look with a shaved head until you shave it. Like, it could look awful. And then at that point, you just have to wait for it to grow back, you know?
But what's the alternative? You're going to look awful with almost bald head, too.
Yeah, for instance, my grandpa, for a large part of his life after he mm-hmm. started losing his hair, did the Friar Tuck. So, you know, nothing on the top, but the hair around the sides.
Okay.
And fluffy? Not really. I mean, he had it kind of tight, but eventually he also just gave up and shaved his head. So he went the Mr. Clean route. So
good.
Maybe I'll follow in Tanner Morgan's footsteps should I ever get to that point. But
do you think anyone suggested to Katie to shave his head?
Oh, Gene Katie?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure everyone suggested to him.
You think so? When was the last time you think somebody? Because for the last 15 years, there's no way anyone told him.
you probably get to a certain age and people are just like, I'm just tired of making suggestions. I'm sure maybe one of the only people who probably could tell him was probably Bruce Weber, because they'd been friends for so long. He was probably like, Gene, what are you doing? But I mean, I would think if you're just a random
Bruce Weber,
person,
great hair.
Yes. Yeah. Silver Fox, Bruce Weber. I think if you're just randomly meeting Gene Cady and getting to know him, he probably seems to be a really intimidating guy. So I don't know that I would like immediately start giving him tips on his hair.
I'm just curious.
So yeah, my three reasons Purdue could win. I thought Tanner Morgan is not a guy that scares me. I thought the Minnesota team in general was overhyped because of their poor schedule, which I think turned out to be true. And I can't remember my third one. Was it that their wide receiver was out? I think it might have been. Which turned out
you were getting pretty desperate towards the end, even though you were right.
I was right. I didn't convince myself, but I was ultimately right. Their leading receiver had 11 receptions, Bryce Williams, but only 35 yards. What do you think their long? Or, I'm sorry, I'm looking at rushing. I'm sorry, he had six.
They had a long pass.
110 yards, long of 66.
But you're onto something. The longest run we gave up was 9 yards.
9 yards.
When you're playing most Big Ten teams, this has to be the first game where we had a longer run than the other team.
It's definitely.
And if you would have asked me that at the end of the at the beginning of the year, would Minnesota be the one we outran? No chance in hell.
Yeah, no
chance. We held them to, if you take out quarterback, we held them to 21 carries, 48 yards.
Yeah.
That is absurdly good.
Just incredible. So it's not something we would have expected to happen, but the great thing is...
Why can't we do this early?
What do you mean?
Why do we have to be 2-2?
Game? Yeah, I don't know. Well, now we're 3-2.
Also, we still haven't played a good game.
No, not
a good
game.
Does that frustrate you? Worry you? Are you optimistic that we have a good game to be found?
I mean, it's definitely frustrating because if Purdue had put it all together, they clearly could be 5-0. We had Penn State beat and then gave up the touchdown late. We had Syracuse beat and gave up the touchdown late. Now, Penn State is currently ranked 10th in the latest rankings. Syracuse is ranked 22nd. Pretend for a moment that Purdue had beat both of those teams. They sit at 5-0. I don't think they would be as high as 10, but
yada,
I certainly
yada,
think...
Yada, yada, thing about listen, my uncle, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah, yeah, but you ask the question, and I'm giving you an answer.
Mm-hmm.
So Purdue would be somewhere probably between 10 and 22. So yes, that is incredibly frustrating that Purdue hasn't put it together earlier, but this is what Jeff Brohm does.
But, like, even if we had won those games, which we could have won those games, have we played better than a B performance this season?
I don't know how I would grade the Penn State game, because I think Penn State is a very good team, and I think Purdue, again, it was a game Purdue had won and then just let it slip away.
It was a weird game. It was a game where everyone but Aiden O'Connell played well.
Yeah, so maybe I would give that one like a B+.
That's probably right.
But yeah, I mean, you're right. We've not put together a complete game to really show what this team is capable of. You know, but the defense in this game played really well, multiple stops when they needed them.
Trice was really good.
Trice was really good. I think he only got thrown to three times and got his hand on the ball each and every time it was thrown his side. Again, three interceptions. Purdue got stops when they needed them. And the offense didn't help the defense at all by doing a lot of three and outs, a lot of, we had three turnovers of our own. O'Connell had two interceptions, and Maccabee had one fumble that was lost. So
you didn't like all the one-yard runs on first down?
I mean, I didn't mind them, because you got to try to do something. You got to keep the defense honest. But I'm sure the defense was absolutely gassed in the second half there, especially in the fourth quarter when it seems like they were just out there all the time. But they held their own, and maybe that's a matter of, you know, Minnesota having key guys out, but you play who you play when you play them, and Purdue did everything we needed them to do in this game on defense. But we can't really finish talking about this game without talking about Devin Maccabee, who, yes, he did have the fumble, but overall 11 carries, 112 yards, including just an incredibly beautiful 68-yard run when Purdue needed more points on the board. They were up 13-10 at that point. And needed a drive down the field just under 5 minutes to go. He busts out a 68-yard run and then caps it off with a 2-yard touchdown. And this walk-on is absolutely Purdue's number one running back at this point. No. I know you think he's small. I know you're sad about his size, but you got to watch that video.
Hold on.
No. You watch the video of him running that play against Minnesota, how slippery he is, how he moves. He sees the field really well. He got around so many defenders, broke tackles. Yes, he's only 190. You would love him to be bigger and stronger, but he'll get there. But for now, he is absolutely playing like Purdue's best running back.
I think he's more of a change of pace guy, which is why we lean on Downing a little more normally. I thought Downing was pretty good. I thought Downing was also good. I thought it was a strange game because we started off running the ball really well that first possession, and we ended running the ball really well.
Yeah.
In between, not at all. If you take out the 68-yard run, Maccabee has, I believe, 34 yards.
Yeah.
On 10 carries.
Which is almost exactly what Downing had.
Right.
He had 10 on 32.
Right.
Neither of them rushes 32 yards.
For the majority of the game, neither of them were particularly effective. But in the two, you know, most successful drives, we were able to create some lanes. And they both, I think more than anyone else on our roster, they both hit holes well. Maccabee probably, in space, Maccabee is a better runner. He is weirdly shifty. And he looks, so he's 190, but he looks almost like a fullback. And I think it's shoulder pads.
It probably, yeah.
It's strange, but he is shifty. He's good. I like him in space. I still don't understand our run game 80% of the time.
Yeah.
I don't think we're doing ourselves favors.
But here's what I'll say. You just like you're, you know, dumping on me for if this, then that. You can't really take out the 68-yard run from Maccabee to look
at
his stats.
No, I'm not trying to. What I'm saying is for 70% of the game, I think most of us were frustrated with the running calls.
I mean, to a degree. But you have to keep trying the running game, especially when O'Connell is struggling. He clearly didn't look like himself, wasn't really stepping into his throws, seemed to be a tad late on some of them, wound up 27 of 40, only 199 yards, two interceptions. So not his best game by any means, but seemed to have done just enough to get Purdue in position to win the game, which, again, obviously they ultimately did, 20-10.
Yeah, our offense, it just feels like we're on shaky ground right now. This could have easily turned around and been a game where we were bemoaning, you know, another loss where we shouldn't have. So I just don't – I know it's good that we won. It's good that we made some plays. I don't feel any different about this team than I did going in. The same way we could be 5-0, we could be pretty easily 1-4.
Yeah, I mean, you're not wrong.
It's the same change of a couple coin flips. Either way, mostly on plays that could be determined more by luck than skill.
Yeah, but I mean, I think any team can really say that.
Yeah, I'm just saying, I don't, we closed out, and that is good to see. I think Aiden O'Connell has shown from the very moment he took over in that Northwestern game, very good. We need to get to a situation in the fourth quarter where he can kind of open up the offense.
Yeah.
And he's very good, quick processor.
Yeah, he's good under pressure, for sure.
It's just something is not quite clicking. That makes me nervous.
No, I get it. I mean, because as you said, we have not put together a complete game on either side of the ball, really. There always seem to be lapses on both offense and defense. But as long as they do enough to win the game, I'll deal with the frustration. So one last thing, Charlie Jones, 6 catches, 55 yards, no touchdowns. And I want to point out, pretty darn close to what you predicted in the podcast, you said 7 catches, 35 yards. So not too far off. I was way off. I had 8 for 97 with 1 touchdown. So you were much better on that one. So
I assumed Austin Burton was playing.
That's fair. Yeah. I mean, I think we both did.
I think it's a thing, though, because Aiden O'Connell got in trouble a couple times quick throwing to where the point he makes his read pretty much before he has the ball. And I believe there was a slant route that the defender beat Charlie Jones to, and it was nearly a pick.
Yeah, well, I mean, O'Connell had about 3 other balls that should have been picked off.
So it's alarming. I don't know what it is right now, but it's just we're not pressing the right button. Our receiver, I'm pleasantly surprised a lot through the game when someone like TJ Sheffield gets out there and makes space. Deion Burks was surprisingly good.
Yeah, Deion Burks had a good game.
Tyron Tracy has shown himself to be a game breaker when he gets a chance. It's just not meshing the way that I'm used to a Brohm passing offense. And honestly, what I expected from Aiden O'Connell, who's been here for a long time.
Yeah.
He was always ahead of the curve on the way he processed and the way he dissected a defense. So it's weird to see now that he's still kind of struggling with it.
Yeah, and you do wonder, Brohm said after the game that O'Connell did not practice until Thursday.
Right.
So you wonder how much of it is that he didn't really have a chance to implement a game plan. You assume he knows the playbook at this point. You know, he's been in the program for so long, but I'm sure there are Minnesota-specific wrinkles or things that he needed to know that he hadn't quite put into practice as well as he would have liked should he have been healthy the whole time. So I'll chalk it up to that and hope that with an additional week of rest, health, and practice, he can get back to the AOC we know, love, and need for the rest of the season going forward. So one last thing, not about the game itself, but about the telecast of the game. It was on ESPN2, so I know for a lot of people there's a contract dispute with Dish Network and I think Sling also. So you couldn't watch the game because they lost all their ESPN Disney Network, so that was terrible for a lot of people.
Shout out.
Yeah, but ESPN has got to do something to me, for me at least. I don't care if anybody else feels this way. For their score alert, indicator on the bottom of the screen is the exact same color as the indicator of when a flag is thrown. So we, as Purdue fans, are always looking for flags when our defense makes a good play. It's just the nature of the team the last couple years. So every time I would see, you know, maybe it was Trice bat down a ball or, you know, make a good third down stop. And then all of a sudden the score alert pops up on the bottom. I'm like, oh man. And I'm cursing at the TV. And then it's just like Alabama scored or, you know, somebody, whoever scored. And I was like, oh my God, I don't know how many times that got me during the game, at least three or four. But ESPN folks, cause I know, you know, the CEO of ESPN, he's a listener. He's a fan. So I hope you take that to heart. Just maybe change the score indicator color. Make it red. I just not that same yellow that you use for a flag.
Never noticed it once, Lidman. I'm sorry.
Oh, man. Drove me nuts.
Did you throw this out to Twitter to see if you were alone?
I did. I got hundreds of likes, so I can't be the only one.
I don't believe you.
Oh, now you can maybe look it up. Yeah.
For you whining.
Well, I mean, that's basically what Twitter is, isn't it?
Yeah.
See?
Yeah.
All right, so that's enough for the Purdue versus Minnesota game. We are going to take a break, come back, and look at the Big Ten West more generally.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
And we are back. So as promised, we're going to take a look at the Big Ten West. Purdue, along with five other teams, sitting atop the Big Ten West
right now.
I
see six.
I said Purdue and five other teams. That would be six.
I just said I saw six.
So yes, Illinois, Purdue, Northwestern, Minnesota, Iowa, Nebraska all sit at 1-1. As we all assumed, last place in the Big Ten West, Wisconsin, 0-2.
Tasty biscuit.
After getting absolutely trounced by Illinois, and breaking news from about 40 minutes ago, Wisconsin has fired head coach Paul Christ, which just blew my mind because he's a constant winner, won the West 2 to 3 times, Big Ten Coach of the Year multiple times. They won 9 games last year. Now they're 2-3 on the season, 0-2 in the conference, and he's out the door.
What Christ-like pun are they going to use in the headline?
Well, you already saw Travis tweeted. It looks like Wisconsin has denied Paul Christ, or you know, something like that. So,
a little heavy-handed.
Yeah, a little bit, but you know, that's what we rely on Travis for: heavy-handed puns. But I mean, it's just astounding.
Ooh, Christ compels L's you.
L's? I like that because you're focusing on the L. Mm-hmm. Good. Mm-hmm. So it's so funny to me also that Illinois is the team that beat Wisconsin, because of course Illinois, coached by former Wisconsin coach Brett Bielema, who left Wisconsin to go to Arkansas.
Do you think he's going to go back?
I can't imagine they would want him back. He left I don't think he left on good terms.
Better terms than they're on now.
Well, I mean, I guess that's true. So Illinois beats Wisconsin. Wisconsin fires their coach. So now we have got a 6-way tie at the top of the Big Ten West, which is just ridiculous. Iowa can't score on anybody. Nebraska is laughably bad. Purdue just beat Minnesota. Northwestern, I don't think, is very good. Illinois, also, I don't think, very good. They lost to IU to start the season. I mean,
that is not a good sign.
No, could Purdue win this division?
If Brom were ever going to win a conference or the West Division, this is the way it would happen.
Right. I mean,
disappointing 2-2 start, just not looking good. Probably won't look good in any single game, and they'll end up winning like a tiebreaker with 2 losses.
Right. Yeah. And actually, if the season ended with a 6-way tie with, you know, if for some other reason no other games were played, Purdue would win based on like the 4th or 5th tiebreaker right now. So it's just, it's ridiculous.
What's the tiebreaker? I need to know.
I can't hear. It's like record in the division, and then record Big Ten overall, and then record against the rest of the tiebreaker teams. It just goes on and on. I'd have to look it up, but I mean, it's just ridiculous. But I mean, why can't there's no reason Purdue can't win at this point.
That West Division? Absolutely not. I mean, the only reason is the one we're scared of is going into Wisconsin.
Going into Wisconsin, yeah.
They might have fired their coach too early. Might have been nice to have like a dead weight coach.
Oh, okay.
It would have been nice to be the team that like put the nail in his coffin.
So you're saying if it would have been better for us if they just keep losing and we go into the game at Wisconsin and they're like 0-5 in the conference, and well, yeah, everybody's sad. Yeah.
I would much rather have it stay status quo where they don't have a win in the Big Ten.
Yeah.
That would be nice. Now they might be rejuvenated.
Yeah.
Maybe they've got a whiz kid to take over.
I'm amazed that Alvarez didn't just name himself the interim coach again.
That would be great sports movie.
Well, I mean, he did that for the bowl game.
That's what I'm saying. Just like every few years, like that's the season.
He just gets called off the bench every couple of years.
What's the reason now, coach?
So, I mean, Purdue now, next week, on the road again, at Maryland. I will be in attendance.
Are you ready? This is the one game you're actually going to follow through and go to.
The one game?
Yeah.
I'm following through on where have I failed?
What are you doing when we're playing IU?
Hey, we said if we were undefeated or had a chance to win the Big Ten West.
Uh-huh.
So
Having a hypothetical how we have a chance? You are not going. You booked a Bluey ticket that you're very proud of.
Look,
zero
chance.
Blue
ticket can be switched to the next day.
I will pay for the... What? This whole time you could have just went the next day?
Yeah, it's possible.
And
but
you
look,
didn't?
You're a real bad Purdue fan. It was a real
people.
Scramble.
I want to hear you call Ledman out. I need to see it on the message boards on Twitter. What do you mean it was the next day? This whole time.
Listen, mistakes were made. Okay.
Why?
Because as I was buying the tickets, I didn't.
You got confused by the concept of days?
No, I was just scrambling to get tickets because we thought they were going to sell out like immediately. So I was like just logging in and I clicked on the day where it said the most are available so that they didn't get like snatched up as I'm trying to pick seats. It was, like I said, mistakes were made, just but
manic purchased some Bluey tickets.
It's what happened. So Purdue next week at Maryland, noon kickoff, BTN. And I mean, we've got Maryland home against Nebraska, at Wisconsin, and then versus Iowa, at Illinois, versus Northwestern, and at IU. I would say two of those games look pretty tough at this point. At Maryland and at Wisconsin, just because Purdue never wins at Wisconsin.
There is nothing I've seen in our offense that makes me confident enough that we're going to moonwalk over Iowa.
Iowa can't score anything.
I don't care. They are elite on defense, which is one more elite thing than we have.
No, I think Iowa is trash.
Trash.
I think this is one of the worst Iowa teams we've seen in years. They've struggled on offense for, you know, the past 4 or 5 years, probably more, ever since Kirk Ferentz hired his son.
Redman?
Yes.
You had the same attitude about our non-conference schedule.
Well, yes, I did. But in fairness...
How did that turn out?
In fairness, we shouldn't have lost that game.
What does that mean? Yeah, we shouldn't have lost that. We lost the game and we barely beat Florida Atlantic.
I know.
Nothing that has been put on tape gives us any reason to think any game is a walkthrough, except Northwestern is terrible.
No, I didn't say
Northwestern is hot garbage. I watched 10 minutes of that Northwestern Penn State game, and it was one of the worst football games I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, you must not have watched that Nebraska IU game last night.
Of course I did not.
Oh, I watched most of that.
Why?
And let me tell you. Oh, because it was so bad. And no, you joked again the FAU game that no coach wanted to win that game.
Mm-hmm.
Oh man, neither team wanted to win in this Nebraska IU game. Just turnover after turnover, mistake after mistake. It was very on brand. It was exactly on brand. So it was kind of enjoyable to watch because I didn't want either of them to win.
Yeah, Big Ten football not great.
Not great. I mean, we've got three top 10 teams. In the latest poll, Michigan, Ohio
like
State,
Penn State,
and Penn State
is a legit top 10 team.
I don't know. I mean, they look pretty good, but I don't think they've really faced much of a challenge so far. So I wanted to read this to you because you know I love reading IndyStar tweets to you.
Oh, no.
So here is one. No, this one is I thought was pretty great. So this was posted early this morning, and it's about IU football. This is from Matt Glenesk. Hoosiers can tell themselves they beat themselves on Saturday if it helps them try to focus, but they're still going to have a hard time beating anyone else.
Wow. My dog, my man. to the heart.
And then the actual headline under it is, IU football's loss to Nebraska shows a team without a lot of answer. Quote, we beat ourselves.
Yeah, sure. But other teams also can beat them because they're really
exactly.
bad.
Exactly.
Double beat. How does it feel right now to be rooting against George Karloftis as he just made a tackle for a loss?
It's definitely weird. It's definitely weird.
One would question your allegiancy. One could.
Allegiancy? I think you mean allegiance.
Whatever. You're choosing to cheer for this great, like, 95-year-old lizard man at quarterback.
Hey, no.
Instead of the best defensive player at Purdue in probably, like, 10 years.
Maybe. Yeah, probably. But here's what I'll say. I've been a Buccaneers fan since Mike Allstott was drafted by the Buccaneers. So therefore,
you jump ship for Kansas City? That just makes you...
No, that's not how it works. You don't just switch teams.
I do it all the time. I follow Purdue players.
Well, I mean, I can root for Purdue players, but not root for their teams. For instance, Drew Brees, when he got traded to the Saints.
Yeah, I became a Saints fan, like a real Purdue fan.
They're in the Bucs division. I was rooting against them every single game.
You don't have – your only good reason for why it was acceptable for you to root for Tampa Bay is that a Purdue player that was there. Now you could take that logic and root for a bunch of other teams.
No, that's
not
terrible.
Tampa Bay.
No. If anyone who went to college with me is listening to this, I'm going to tell a brief story that will illustrate why I would never do
Does it involve love for Warren Sapp?
No, although I did love Warren Sapp. A lot of good energy.
Those teams
a lot of
are
good
fun.
Energy.
I can see why you jumped on the bandwagon.
Unbelievable. So I went to college with a guy. I will not name him just in case.
What up, Martin?
Nope, not even close. I mean, actually, not terribly far away. You had the first first letter right. There was this guy went to college with.
What up, Michael?
Friendly with him. And he was in the paint crew with us, and he was adjacent to our group, so we would see him all the time around campus. He was one of those guys who had a lot of, you know, baseball hats, wore jerseys all the time, big sports guy. Mm-hmm. Only problem was
Jace.
Jace. he seemed to have a jersey or hat of like every team, and not
some
just
dudes
because,
just really like jerseys.
Nope, that's not it. That's not it. Because he was like, oh no, I have like 16 teams that I root for.
Oh.
And you're like, what?
Was there a hierarchy?
Probably, but I can't fathom it anymore. So like every year the playoffs started and he would post on Facebook, of the 14 teams in the playoffs, I like 8 of them. So I've got a whatever percent chance of winning the Super Bowl this year. And he'd do this with every sport. And you're like, then
at least he was open about it.
It's like, then you're not a real fan. You're just like, I like winning.
Any let's go post that has commas. That's great.
I mean, it was just wild. So he would just post that every year, like as soon as baseball playoffs started, NBA playoffs started, NFL playoffs started. He'd just do it every year. I think eventually my friend Thomas and I would always talk about it. No, I think he just unfriended all of us on Facebook because we would like every time he would post it.
Every time, you big bullies?
Every time
he posted. Why can't he just love?
Every time he posted,
he's polyfanerous.
Like,
why can't he just be?
What are you doing?
Why are you taking this man's joy?
That's not how sports work.
Why not? Why does it have to work the way you work?
Why
can't he be happy in every game? That would be great.
Because then there's no tension. There's nothing to root for.
He's just a happy guy.
The winning is
only
good.
Not everyone needs to be miserable. Why do you talk like a Cubs fan for a Reds fan?
Oh, trust me. As a Reds fan, I know what it's like to lose. We lost over 90 games again this year. Yeah. We're 3 games away from our franchise record in losses.
That's like winning. First pick.
See, the thing is, I don't even think we're the worst team. The Nationals are worse than us. And we lost to the Nationals when I went to watch them.
Wouldn't it feel so sad if you had a backup team?
Yeah, exactly. If only I could just root for the Yankees.
You could. Nothing is stopping you.
You know what's stopping me? My integrity.
Oh, my God. Integrity.
My integrity.
You're hurting baseball. You could buy double the amount of jerseys.
I'm hurting
twice
baseball. Yeah, that's it.
Look, they don't have enough single fans, so they're going to have to get by on double fans, triple fans. You need you to
only
buy more
fans.
Hats.
You're welcome. All right, on that note, there we go. Purdue's got a chance to win the Big Ten West, folks. We got to start next week at Maryland. We got to keep
Ryan
winning.
Kerrigan.
Got to keep winning. Let's win. I think you mean Karloftis.
No, I'm still rooting for Kerrigan. I hope
he
enjoys
retired.
His retirement.
He's an assistant coach now for a volunteer coach with the Commanders, I believe.
Oh, okay. But yeah, go Karloftis. Smash the Bucks.
Go Bucks.